Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, May 28th, 2012. How's it going? How are you? Happy Memorial Day. Huh? Thanks to all the troops. You know, that's what you're supposed to do today, right? Anybody? Are you still recovering from the cookout? Your cookout for the troops? Your 12-pack to the head for the fucking heroes? I don't give a shit what a holiday is. I don't give a fuck what it's for. Eventually, enough years goes by, and it's just an excuse to become a tub of shit and drink a 12-pack, you know, and get all your feelings off your chest, you know? All that shit that you've been harboring about the person that you're with. You know, a few weeks ago, somebody was asking me, you know, they wanted to break up with somebody. And I was saying, listen, you got to listen, you know, the person who has it down, how to do the breakup was Minivan Men Podcast's own celebrity star, Al Madrigal. But if you don't have time to email Al Madrigal, just listen to LL Cool J, Big Old Butt. I don't know why I never really listened to him when I was growing up. You know, mama said knock you out. Oh, did she? Is that what she said, LL Cool J? I don't care. You know, I just wasn't into it in his deodorant, in his armpits when he was jamming with those white guys. I never got into it. But lately, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He's just come onto my YouTube shit. I don't know what it is, but I was listening to some of his stuff. Well, I know why. Yesterday I was trying to remember, like, what was that song he used to have? That I'm the type of guy, and you're the type of guy. What the fuck was that? And then I listened to it, and I kind of liked it, but I hated that part of it. Really annoyed me. I'm like, oh, that's why I never downloaded this shit. But then on the side, they had LL Cool J, Big Old Butt. You know, I play drums. I'm like, well, let me hear what this track sounds like. And I put it on, and he basically teaches you how to break up with a girl in that song. Or that rap. Or that rhyme, whatever, however you're supposed to say it. He breaks it down and just in like fucking 11 seconds. He sits his girls down. He's basically hanging out in like some sunglass hut or some shit. And some girl comes in with an insane ass. And he does what every guy does. He stares at it and he thinks, I want to fuck that. But oh shit, I have a girlfriend. So what does he do? Does he sneak around on her? No. He goes home and he sits her down. He says, listen, I met this girl named Tina, okay? Tina's got a big old butt. I know that I said I'd be true. I'm really whiting this up. But Tina got a big old butt, so I'm leaving you. That's just fucking airtight. You can't fuck with that. He was 100%. I don't even know if she could get mad. I think women so expect guys to be lying, weaselly pieces of shit that if you actually hit them with that level of honesty, I think they would just be stunned. Just like the chick in the video. Like, I didn't think that that was bad acting. I think that they would absolutely be stunned if you just came home and said, listen, I met this girl. I know that I said I'd be faithful to you, but she's better looking than you, so I'm breaking up with you. Well, what is the comeback? There's nothing. That'd be like if your girl came home and said, listen, I know we're together, but this guy, you know, I met him at the mall. His dick is twice the size of yours, and he's got a better car. So it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm out of here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your little dick and your fucking Domino's pizza? It's over. You just got to fucking be like, you know, you only go around once, so... I get it. So anyway, so if you don't have time to email Al Madrigal, which you should, just listen to LL Cool J, Big Old Butt. You got to see his face when he goes, so I'm leaving you. Can't explain it. It's way meaner than it has to be. That's what it makes it funny. Because there's a way to read that where you're kind of letting him down easily, you know? But he didn't. He just did it like, yeah, this is how it works. So there you go. Look at that. On a holiday, as you're shaking off your fucking Keystone Lights that you drank for the troops, you know, your fucking bong hits for the men and women in the Marine Corps that you took, right? Flag Day is coming up, everybody. Well, we respect and honor all the flags of the world. Come on down and get your Bush Light for fucking $12 a fucking case. What the fuck would happen? What would the world be like if there was no way to get fucked up? If you couldn't get high, couldn't get drunk? Jesus. How long would marriages last then? They'd probably be even shorter. Or would they just be rage? Just sitting around fucking, ugh. Stone sober, eating strawberry shortcake. It'd be horrific. Anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast. It is the end of May, everybody. All right? How many days are in May? 30 days has September. So does April and November. All the rest have a bunch of other dates except for February. Go fuck yourself with your song. So you got 30? 31. Ah, fuck, what is it? April has 30, June has 30, May's 31. Well, what, I got the little thing I can click right here. Oh, I have a computer. I don't need to think, right? It has, why is it in September? Oh, for Christ's sake. Do I have to click another button? It has 31 days. All right, so you until have, you guys have until Thursday midnight to make something of May 2012. All right? Are you in a fucking relationship you don't want to be in? Do you want to be in this relationship you don't want to be in June? Why don't you celebrate the end of May by getting out of your fucking relationship and sitting down and basically just go with the LL Cool J vibe. Hold her hand and just go straight honesty. And then what's she going to do? What's he going to do? They're going to flip the fuck out. But the die has been cast. The ship has set sail. The ball is already rolling. The sun is setting. The rain is falling. Whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's out there. Just put it out there. Let him scream and yell. And in your head, as much as it sucks, you're going to be like, okay, I did it. I did it. Now I just got to sit here and get yelled at. And how long can somebody really yell before they lose their voice? An hour? 90 minutes? In an hour and a half. I'm going to be in the car listening to LL Cool J driving away from that thing I didn't want to be in. All right? And I know I talk about this shit a lot, but I think a lot of people are in situations like this. They don't know how to sit somebody down. It just says, so I'm leaving you. You know, if I was LL Cool J and I stopped, you know, selling tickets and all that type of shit, that would be a side business that I would have. I would take that little fucking rhyme that he had, and I would custom do it for everybody in their life. And just, and then people could just write you, all right? And you'd charge it, you charge him $100, and he would write you a, you know, four bars. It all rhymes, and you just get out exactly what you're saying, you know? Just be like, you eat with your mouth open. I know I said that I'd be true. But you eat with your mouth open. So I'm leaving you. You just get right down to it. Your mom is a fucking cunt. I know I said that I'd be true. But she's fucking always coming over here and something rhymes with cunt. You know, you got the idea, right? Jesus Christ, what do I have to be, LL? Hang on a second. What the fuck just happened? Did I knock this out? All right. 10 minutes in. Look at that. That was an easy 10. That was a fucking easy 10. I bought a new grill. I didn't get a grill. You know what I bought? I bought that fucking egg thing. The big ceramic. Looks like a giant fucking avocado. You know what sucks is I can't even talk about the shit that I bought because I feel like now it feels like it's a commercial on this thing. They're not paying me to advertise. So what? So what, Bill? Now you can't talk about them? See what happens? It's a catch-22. Speaking of looking like a giant avocado, how about those Boston Celtics? What up, Philly? Huh, what'd you think? Did you really think that that was going to happen again? That you were going to go into Boston for a game seven on the fucking parquet? And that wasn't going to happen. I almost went parquet butter. At that point, if I ever made that joke, you guys should have just fucking just, what are you, unsubscribed? Is that how you say it? Celtics beat Philly. I actually watched most of the game, and then I had to go do my gig over at Flappers. So I had to listen to the rest on the radio as I went over there. I got to tell you something, you know. I'm not expecting the Celtics to win the championship. I know we're old, you know. But the officiating in the fucking NBA, I don't think in any other sport, I swear to God, do the refs just dictate the fucking pace and all that? And I know that I've had a fucking tampon in my ass about this for a long time, but it's ridiculous. Paul, let me ask you a question. Would in any game ever, forget about a game seven of an NBA playoff to go to the conference finals. Let's just say a regular season game in the middle of fucking December. Does Kobe Bryant ever get called for a, does he ever foul out on a fucking charge? Is that call ever going to be made against that guy? I'm going to go with never. Right? Paul Pierce got five fouls, ticky-tack foul. They foul the guy out on a fucking charge. It's un-fucking believable. And just 3 days before, I watched Kobe fucking hack a guy across both forearms, but that would have been his third foul in the second quarter, and they would have had to sit the guy. And what do? They have a meeting. The refs have a meeting, and they give it to some bum standing next to him. It's just fucking... Tell me the difference between the NBA officiating and the officiating in fucking wrestling. Okay, if you can do that, then... Jesus Christ, sorry. Did I just lose you guys on that one? Why don't you set the fucking recorder where it's supposed to be? There, right down on the floor. Let's just bring everything down here. There we go, Bill. Seriously, if you can do that, I will fucking... I will go to your town and I will do karaoke. And I'll sing whatever song you want me to sing. I'll do that LL Cool J song, and I'll white it up. I know that I said that I would be true. That's what kills me about the NBA, okay? I've really been watching it because of the hangover and the devastation of seeing the Bruins get knocked out. And I got into it again. And it's just like basketball is a fucking phenomenal game. It's a pure game, you know? Fucking ball in a hoop. Loving it. If those fucking striped cunts would just get out of the way and stop taking out their fucking frustration that there's some 23-year-old kid who's getting more pussy and is worth millions of more dollars than you and your fucking Foot Locker outfit. So now you got to go around and just fucking dictate, I have power. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't know if it's that shit or if it's fucking David Stern in their ear with the Bluetooth. Whatever. So, hey. New Jersey's own Paul Verzi. He's been talking a lot of trash, you know, talking about Oklahoma City. You know, that's who he's picking. And I actually picked the Spurs, you know, because my whole theory that the Spurs play basketball the way your dad fights, you know. And I think that was evident in last night's game. You know, Oklahoma came out all fucking, you know, all young, full of piss and vinegar. Running up and down the court. And what do they do? They just sort of jogged after him. All right, yeah, keep running. It's like that movie Colors. That street joke. With the Papa Bull and his son, the Sun Bull. Father and Son Bull standing on the hill. They're looking down at a bunch of cows. And the son goes, hey, let's run down the hill and go fuck one of those cows. And the dad goes, no, let's walk down and fuck them all. All right, that's the Spurs. Let's walk down, pick and roll, and fuck them all. That's what they're going to do. All the way to another NBA championship. And they're still not going to get respect because they play in a city that nobody cares about. Okay? Mexicans don't even care about San Antonio. They don't. All right, that's just a little stop off that they have when they cross the border before they go to, like, fucking, I don't know, El Paso. All right, that was a bad example, El Paso. I should have said, where do illegal immigrants usually end up? Denver. They come right up through Albuquerque, through Santa Fe, you know, run past Columbine, and they go right into Denver, don't they? What is that? Is that the 35 north? Or is that, no, the 35 goes through Austin. This is how much fucking road traveling I've done. It goes to 10. There's the 8, then there's the 10, then there's the 40. Then there's the 70, then there's the 80, then there's the 90. That's going east-west. Those are evens. Odds go north-south. Ah, fuck, I can't fucking remember anymore. Ah, who gives a shit? Anyways. So, what do you guys think? Huh? Can the Celtics limp through another round? Can they beat, I like how they act like because Chris Bosh is out of it, like they don't still have LeBron James and that guy with the little mouth. What's... Dwayne Wade, what is with his fish lips? I don't understand. He looks like a fucking tuna that can dunk. All right. What the fuck am I right now? Oh, I know. I got to do some advertising. Sorry, people. I'm doing, like, you know, one of these days I'm actually going to... Nah, I'm not even going to lie to you. I was going to say, you know, one of these days I'm going to get this thing into a studio and, you know, there's going to be the guy, the fucking Baba Booey guy who comes in or the fucking this guy. It's not happening. All right. It isn't. This is what it is. All right? Just like AC/DC's first album. Okay? Do you think that they were going to do something else? No. This is what we're doing. Three chords, kick you in the cunt, and a guitar solo, and that's it. Go fuck yourself. We're done until the next one comes out. That's what I'm doing with this. All right? I don't have time. Yes, I do. I have the time. I'm lazy. All right? Well, fuck you. You put shit off in your life, don't you? All right, here's one for you. The Man Grate, everybody. And I just received my first Man Grate. They just sent me a free one. This Father's Day, there's only one perfect gift. You guys all grilled this weekend on your little hibachis with those anorexic little grates that you have and all the grease drips down and lights your Egg McMuffin on fire. Isn't that annoying? You know? Because that's one of the things that you really... You get judged as a guy. You know what I mean? What your woman looks like, what kind of car you drive, and then your skills on the grill. Okay? That's how you're judged. And I'm sure that this will be made fun of someday on a show like The Office. They will somehow try and they'll show a guy who's good on the grill, right? And then somehow they'll say, but, you know, underneath, he has an underlying insecurity, right? Because no one could just be the fucking man anymore. The Man Grate, everybody. This is the deal. It's a grill enhancement system. You don't have to go buy a new grill. Do you already have a grill? Are you nodding your head yes? All right? Wouldn't you like to fucking put a supercharger on it? That's what the Man Grate is. All right? Oh, the next line. What is a Man Grate, you ask? Man Grates are 100% made in America cast iron grilling grates. All right? So you're giving Americans jobs and you're grilling. Good Lord, all we need is a stripper in here and an American flag. This is you have a Kid Rock video. These heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve the steakhouse flavor you've been looking for. Now, what they're really saying there is, are you tired of your friends making fun of you and your lame-ass cube steaks? This is going to teach you how to grill correctly. Or at least, you know what I'm trying to say here. With Man Grate's patented design, chicken, steak, or veggies... For all the Trader Joe people, veggies will have never tasted so good. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat. Guaranteed. They guarantee it. So basically, they're giving you something that will make it impossible for you to mess it up, which means as you're grilling, you can be looking over your shoulder, talking trash to your friends about how good your burgers are going to be. All right, take advantage of their $20 Monday morning podcast special today by clicking on the Man Grate banner at BillBurr.com. All you do is you go to BillBurr.com, you click on the podcast page, you look over to the right. All right? You look over to the right. You click on the Man Grate banner, And as a bonus, every BillBurr.com order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush to clean it up with. All right? They're made in America. They're 100% cast iron. You'll get steakhouse-quality grilling in your backyard. $20 off because of my podcast and you're a listener. Just go to the Mangrate banner on the podcast page at BillBurr.com. There you go. Get some for your father. You know, does your dad grill? Of course he does. Probably fought for this country too. The last generation of real men. All right. Let's get back to the podcast. Where the hell is it? All right. Let's get back to the stuff here. You know, lately, I've been asking some of the ladies to write in. And finally, I haven't even read this yet, but this already seems like gold. This is the in the subject line of this email. It says, "I think the guy I'm dating is a pussy." "Hello, Bill. I am a 21-year-old student. I began listening to your podcast recently, and I heard you complaining about how women have not written in a while. And being a woman myself, decided to do so and ask you for advice. Well, God bless you. I live at home with my mom and go to college. I recently found a very nice guy there at college and was really into him. But then I started suspecting something strange. I started suspecting that maybe he was a pussy. At first, I thought it was pretty harmless. But then one night, we had a house party and everyone was pretty drunk. And a friend of mine, who I haven't seen in a while, was there. And when everyone was way, way, way past drunk, she tried to get into a fight with me and eventually pushed me down the wall, then stole my iPhone, and he was there and did nothing. Jesus Christ, I was so scared that I called my ex to come get me, and he did." Wow. You think you're dating a pussy? I mean, that right there. Gee, and he just stood there and let this other guy who used to hook up with you come in riding in on his white horse? "Anyways, my ex was more of a man than the guy I was dating. Now, even though the guy I'm dating was drunk, I felt like he should have protected me or done something, anything. He did nothing. And later he even confessed to me that he was scared of my drunk friend and even scared of me." What the fuck, right? "Even though he says this will never happen again, I have enough knowledge to know that people do not usually change like that." You know, that's a really wise, you're really wise for your age. At 21, if you're already not buying into the "I'm going to change," that's, you're wise beyond your years. You know, they say that you're basically, your psychological makeup is done by the time you're 3. So if you see some little toddler standing there while somebody's taking his blocks, that kid's going to be a pussy. "Anyway, so should I be upset or give him another chance? Is this a deal breaker? Is there no way to change a guy from a pussy to a real man? Should I just break things off with him? And if so, should I remain friends with him? Thanks, Bill, and I hope you read this. I love you and Nia." Oh, that's nice. All right. This is the deal. You asking a question. Is there no way to change a guy from a pussy to a real man? No, I don't think. I think that that happens. I think it happens way more in movies where somebody has a life-changing moment. And then they just decide, "I'm not going to take shit anymore." But even then, that just begins the journey of not being a pussy. You don't just say, "I'm not going to be a pussy," and then bam, you're not a pussy anymore. You got to work your way up. It's like if you were 100 pounds overweight and you're like, "This, I'm done. I'm not eating fucking ice cream anymore." The next day, you don't have a six pack. You know, it takes a fucking year or something. You really got to turn it around. So, I don't know. What are you looking for in a guy? I mean, I think the fact that you're writing me and you're saying, "I think the guy I'm dating is a pussy," I mean, that actually hurts me on some level. Just because I insert myself into this story and the person I'm dating would be calling me a pussy. Or it could be the ex, I guess. I don't know. This isn't about me. This is about you. Come on, Bill. Stop being selfish. All right. I think you've totally lost respect for this guy. And if you don't respect the person you're with, eventually you're going to blow somebody else, you know, if you don't break up with this guy. That's what I'm predicting. If you don't break up with this guy, you're just going to cheat on him just to facilitate getting out of the relationship because, you know, to get to that LL Cool J moment where you can just be fucking honest. But I don't think you like that. There's something about you knowing that people don't change at your age and the fact that you're like, you know, this guy's a pussy. He's not sticking up for me. And the fact that he didn't stick up for you and then you took charge and say, well, I'm going to fucking call somebody who will. I mean, technically, you should have fucked your ex-boyfriend that night and he shouldn't have been mad. He should have been like, and he probably wouldn't have been because he's a pussy. Yeah, you know, I understand. I mean, you know, when you needed a big swinging dick, I mean, God knows it wasn't me. So, yeah. I think if you don't break up with this guy, you're actually fighting nature. All right? And you guys are wired you guys aren't wired to just have kids with pussies. You know what I mean? You want a strong son, right? You don't want that pussy DNA in your kid, right? Oh, that's going to kill you. Imagine that. You have a kid with this guy, and you want this kid to be like your ex-boyfriend, and it comes out, and it's like this fucking little wormy worm guy. Ah, it'll be awful. Walking down the aisle to marry this guy with that sheepish, I don't deserve you. You don't want that. You want this guy to be the man standing down there in a white tuxedo like fucking Roger Moore and James Bond. I think, look, I don't know if this just happened and you're really upset. So, you know, and in 3 days you're not going to care and you're going to go back to having a picnic with this guy. Because for all I know, your ex who came coming back, maybe you broke up with him because he cheated on you. Maybe he was too much of a guy, if you know what I mean. So then you said, well, all right. This next time I'm dating a nice guy. So now you dated a nice guy. The thing about is sometimes you date a nice guy, they can be so nice that they're pussies. All right. And look, I'm not sitting here acting like, you know, if I'm out with my girl and some fucking 200-pound, 300-pound jacked fucking 25-year-old comes up and starts doing shit, then I'm going to start swinging because I'm not. I'm not getting my fucking head kicked in just for the fuck of it. No. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like just, you know, straight across the board as a guy, you have to fucking go and get your goddamn head kicked in. But this was a fucking woman. This was a lady. I mean, it is a weird situation in defense of him where how do you get the fucking iPhone back? You start wrestling with her. Now you're kind of fucking throwing a girl around. So you're looking at that possible assault charge because God knows that's how the world works right now. Your Honor, I was trying to steal a phone and this guy assaulted me. And you're going to be sitting there going, she was stealing a phone and they're not going to be able to get past. You're a guy and she's a girl. But, you know, he should have just held her by the back of her pants so she couldn't leave and just stayed out of reach of her swinging. That's what you do if you're in that situation as a guy. You just reach down, you grab them by the back of their pants, and you just start running in a circle until cops get there. So they can't swing at you. They're running backwards. I mean, I don't know what you got to fucking do something. And he didn't do anything. That's the big thing. If you told me, honestly, if you told me that this was some giant guy who could kick the shit out of him, I wouldn't say that the guy's a pussy. You know what I mean? I mean, what is the point of going in and getting a concussion, getting your tooth driven up through your fucking nose? The guy's still going to leave with your phone. You know, that's that old Richard Pryor bit. Macho Man, I'll take that knife and stick it up your ass. Macho Man. It's like, no, you're going to get the shit kicked out of you. But this was a woman. All right, Bill, for fuck's sakes, quit your goddamn rambling. Wrap it up. I think you know what you want to do and you should do it. You are dating a pussy. The fact that when he was sober, he said that he was scared of her and of you. He seems like he's a little verklempt. And I just can't imagine this is going to be a stereotype, but a guy like that actually putting it on you in the bedroom. I really don't. He probably stares at you in the eye. Am I hurting you? Is everything okay? God, you're so beautiful. I mean, come on. Right? Flip her over. Mush her face in the pillows. She says, and P.S., don't worry. That cunt I used to call a friend who pushed me and took my phone is no longer in my life. Did you get your phone back? Well, what happened with you guys? Now, wait a minute. What? Like, can I hear the follow-up here? There's so many different ways that this could be going. Was that like a girl, like when you thought that maybe you were swinging another way and all of a sudden you broke up with her and probably not. It's just my own red shoe diary kind of fucking thing. So anyways, what are we, 30 minutes in of the Monday morning podcast? I gotta give a little shout out here to Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. The city that Johnny Carson made famous. I had a fucking unbelievably great time this weekend. I did four shows out there, Friday, Saturday night. It's the perfect size club. They couldn't have been more friendly. All the shows were packed. I was working out my new hour. And it was great. I was working with Chelsea Peretti, Sacramento's own Chelsea Peretti. She was hella funny, as they say up there. She was fucking great. She sang some ridiculous line about Michael Bolton backstage, like just fucking around. And I said to her, you got to do that on stage. You got to do that on stage, right? So most people go, oh, I can't do it. I just came up with it. I'm not, I can't fucking do it. She went up and she did it and closed with it. And it was just one of those weekends. It just, I don't know. You'd have to be a comedian to understand how much that, like, gets you going to be like, all right, I'm going to go up and go try some shit. If she's just going to go fucking sing some fucked up line about Michael Bolton, what, I'm going to go up there and pussy out of my jokes, the new things that I want to try. So I was psyched. I feel like I have a solid 25 minutes towards my new hour where I can actually, you know, run my mouth and not do anything on the special that's coming up. Because that's basically the game. You tape the special. The second it's done, you then have from whenever you finish taping to when the new one comes out to somehow come up with an hour of shit that you can say to a crowd and they won't demand their money back. So I have until October, and I feel like I'm already halfway there. You know? This time next week, I'm actually going to go out with a buddy of mine. You know, I never rode a motorcycle in my life. He's going to teach me how to do it. I know what you guys are thinking. Oh, a motorcycle, well, fucking just go buy the coffin with it. I'm not. I'm dirt bikes. I'm just going to ride a fucking dirt bike just because I want to learn how to fucking ride one. You know what I mean? Just for that MacGyver moment. There's a couple things I want to learn how to do. I want to fucking learn how to ride a motorcycle and maybe fly a helicopter. Just so I have my, you know, just in case if I'm ever in some Jason Bourne kind of situation. You ever think about that shit? What's great about action fucking heroes is I don't give a fuck what vehicle it is. I don't care if it can fly, if it's on the water, if it's a fucking dump truck, if it's a goddamn tank. It's a fucking hovercraft. Those sons of bitches, not only did they have time to be trained in every form of martial arts, swords, weaponry, guns, anything. They know how all that works, and they can drive every fucking vehicle known to man. You know, you got to do that. You got to, as a guy, you got to make your, or a woman, right? As a girl, remember that when they used to spell it G-R-R-L? Because you guys weren't taking no more shit, baby. You got to make that fucking your action hero list. You know, your Jason Bourne list. Have you ever seen an action movie where the fucking guy jumps into some vehicle or plane or anything is like, how does this work? Does anybody know how to drive a fucking helicopter? Fly it or whatever? I want to be able to do that shit. You know? What's his face? Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has a pilot's license. He can ride a motorcycle. Remember Top Gun when he was fucking riding without his helmet on? right? He can ride a, he can drive a sports car. I wonder at the helicopter though. That's probably the wild card. Everybody's got that. It's like a great pitcher. He's got his four pitches or whatever. But not everybody has the cut fastball. I think the helicopter is the cut fastball for a maybe it's a knuckleball for an action hero. Whatever. Whatever. I never learned how to ride a motorcycle because my parents would not allow it. They just wouldn't allow it. And, you know, what the fuck was I going to do? I didn't have the money to buy one. I wanted to get one, which required them. I was like, can you buy me this? They're like, no. And if we could afford it, we wouldn't. And I was like, why not? And they're like, because you're going to fucking die. All right? And it's as annoying as you are as a child. We don't want that to happen. So, no, we're not getting you that. And then I remember I got old enough and I was going to buy, this the motorcycle came out. It was called the Honda Rebel. And it was only $1,200. This was the 80s. And I still remember the commercial. It was something like, look at my watch. It was 9:51. So I called up my girl, said, let's have some fun. And we rolled riding on a Rebel. Beba da ba boo da be ba boo. Get this fucking bike, something like that, right? And I was going to buy it. And the girl I was seeing at the time said, if you buy that, you might as well buy the coffin to go with it. And I don't know. I talked to a couple other people, and people work in emergency rooms. They call people who ride motorcycles, they just call them organ donors. And I was under the impression of, yeah, but what if you got really good at riding a bike? You know, people suck at riding bikes. Maybe if you got really good at it. And I basically, eventually, probably somebody told me. It's like, listen, stupid, it doesn't matter how good you are. If somebody sucks at driving a car, they're in a fucking car, you're on a motorcycle. That's it, you know. There's no fender benders, as they say on those things. So I was just like, all right, you know what? That's probably a good idea. Oh, fucking action heroes can also ride a horse. It's just not, they can't, there's nothing they can't fucking do. And climb up the side of a building. So what you got to do, you got to get a chin-up bar, and then you got to start knocking down all these modes of transportation. Because that's as big a part of fucking Armageddon as, you know, growing your own food and having your own water supply. You have to be able to drive every mode of transportation. I guarantee you, if you go on YouTube, there's going to be a video. I've never looked this up, but how to drive a tank. I bet somewhere on the internet, I bet that there's a video that will teach you how to do that shit. So anyways, what the hell was I talking about? I just totally lost my goddamn train of thought. So I'm going to be, I'm talking about coming up with this new hour material. So how I do it, this is how I do it. Is obviously I throw out all my other shit, and I only go back to the old hour if I have to. And I just keep talking new shit. I take all rules of hack. I throw them out the window. I will right down to a Michael Jackson impression. If I could do it, I would do it on stage. I wouldn't give a fuck. And just to be saying something new, that'll just get me thinking that way. And then in my personal life, I go out and I try and do some shit that I never did before because I know goddamn well I'm going to make an ass of myself trying to ride that bike. I'll stall it out. I'll do a face plant. I'll do something fucking stupid or whatever. I don't know. Maybe even that fucking shit I just said there about the fucking action heroes, how they can drive. Something will come out of it. So that is my what I'm going to be working on coming up. And I got a bunch of actually stand-up gigs. It starts to get crazy again in June. I'm going to be at the San Jose Improv. Chelsea Peretti is on that one also. I had to give her that one. It's so close to her hometown of Sacramento. All her peeps are going to come down, be hella excited. That's on June 15th and 16th. And then I'm doing on the 17th, I'm at the Chicago Theater. That's a Vince Vaughn show, Vince Vaughn Wild West show. It's going to be me, obviously Vince Vaughn, Steve Byrne. I got to get you guys in that lineup. That's going to be insane. And the Chicago Theater is the shit. I actually got to work at one time previously when I was working with the great Jimmy Norton on his tour, the Antisocial tour. It was me, Norton, Attell, and Brewer. That was such an unbelievable show, and the Bruins won the Stanley Cup that night. So this is my triumphant return to the Chicago Theater. That's going to be Sunday, June 17th. All right? So all you mustachioed, stereotypical Chicago people, bring fucking 6,000 of your closest friends down to that gig. And Ontario Improv, the Inland Empire, June 29th, 30th, and July 1st. And then the next gig I got after that is Hampton Beach in New Hampshire on July 14th in Newport, Rhode Island. I'm doing the Newport Yachting Center, which sounds really, like I said, snooty, but it's a tent that they put up in the parking lot in Newport, Rhode Island, July 15th. And that's actually one of my favorite gigs because I get to go back and see all kinds of friends and family. And that's it. And by then, I'm guaranteeing you, by that July 15th, I'm going to have my 45 fucking minutes down. That's my goal. By July 15th, to have a new 45 minutes, and then I can coast through, you know, August and September, get that next 15. And then my special comes out, right? And hopefully everybody likes it. Then they come out to see me, and everybody's like, oh, fuck, we saw him. He's got a whole new fucking hour. And that is how you do it. All right, dilemma. Bill, would you rather lose your driver's license forever or spend the rest of your life as a vegan? Oh, man, that is a great one. And I obviously can't cheat on the diet. Oh, what a hell of a dilemma. Drive around as a grumpy, skinny douche for the rest of my life. No. Wait, yeah. Wait, would you rather? I just got lost in that. Lose your driver's license forever or spend the rest of your license? Oh, I'd have to walk around as a meat-eating jackass. Spend the rest of my life as a vegan. I'd have to be a vegan. I'd have to be a vegan. What am I going to be? I just sit around eating burgers, walking around the block, asking people to drive me places. I wonder if you could get used to that, though. I lost my license for drinking and driving a long time ago. And that was back when you only lost it for 45 days on a first offense. And they didn't count the first 2 weeks while I was waiting to get arraigned. So it was probably more like 45. I probably lost it for, I don't think it was 2 weeks either. I lost it for like 50-something days. And I remember towards the end of it, I forgot what it was like to drive just after that amount of time. You know what? If I lost my driver's license forever, I would live in New York City. That's what I would do. And, you know, I'd be like one of those fucking people. You know, when you live in New York, Jesus Christ, New York City, man. I you know what? The smartest thing I left New York City at 39. That was the smartest thing I ever did. New York City is such a city for young people. You know, I know I've said this shit before, but like if you this is the thing. I really feel that you got to live there at some point in your life. It's fucking awesome. You have to live there, but don't stay there too long. You stay there too long, there's just something happens. You become agoraphobic. You know, you have some unhealthy relationship with the fucking animal. And I'm not saying bestiality, but like, you know, instead of having a kid, you have like a cat and all you do is sit around bitching that there's no fucking good restaurants in your neighborhood. And it just, you get all hunched over. You start looking like you have osteoporosis, even if you don't. That city is for young people. And go there, have a good time, and then you got to get out. Don't hang there too long because you end up, it's like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. You're just hanging around, and it's not a good thing. And speaking of which, how about the New Jersey Devils? The New Jersey Devils and the LA Kings. Who do you like? Who do you like? And the Rangers lose. The Rangers lose. My condolences to all Rangers fans, and my condolences to the world's most famous arena/food court. Once again, another year goes by, no NBA title, no Stanley Cup. But for some reason, it's the world's most famous arena because of music. Because of Frankie Sinatra. Because of Led Zeppelin. Because of Muhammad Ali. Not because of the Rangers or the Knicks. Okay? And I know that's a bitter pill for you New York sports fans to swallow. And that's exactly why I'm handing it to you on a nice fucking pillow. Swallow it, because it's all you. Celtics, by the way, are still in it, going for their 18th NBA World Championship. All championships won in the NBA. In the National Basketball Association, as opposed to that other team out west that counts that BAA title. We won an NBA title before there was even an NBA. Anyways, by the way, I got to give the Rangers props, though. The Ranger fans, everybody stole your "Let's go, Rangers." Everybody stole that from you guys. In 1994, you guys were the only guys doing it. It became fucking iconic, and now everybody does it. You know, "Let's go, Bruins." No one ever did that. It was, "Here we go, Bruins. Here we go." Bump, bump. That's what the fuck it was. Now I hear people go, "Let's go, Bruins," and it bugs me. I actually looked up the history of the Beat L.A. chant. And because some jackass was trying to be like, "Oh, it's fucking the San Francisco Giant fans used to say that to the Dodgers back in the 60s. I'll go fuck yourself. No, they didn't. All right? According to my fucking internet research, the history of the Beat L.A. chant was actually when the 76ers beat the Celtics in Game 7 in 1982. And they were going, and we hated the fucking Lakers. That's how much we hated the Lakers. The 76ers beat us in our own goddamn building. We knew it was over. And the fans chanted "Beat LA." Actually, they chanted it to the 76ers. All right? That's how much we fucking hated LA. You know, we weren't going, "Fuck you, 76ers," yada, 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 all that bullshit. We were just like, "All right, you beat us." You know, as much as we fucking hate that, we hate the Lakers more. And then the "Beat LA" chant was born. All right? And if that isn't a fucking phenomenal story, I don't know what is. And I got to tell you something. I hated the 76ers back then, but when I look back and I remember those teams, I love them now. Maurice Cheeks, Andrew Toney, Bobby Jones, Dr. J. Oh, and then when they brought in Moses Malone, it was just phenomenal. And I loved their uniforms back then. I don't know why they just don't go back to those. I don't know why every fucking uniform has to be so goddamn discoed up. I just don't get it. They were just simple back then. I don't know. Although I got to say, I like the new Atlanta Hawks uniforms. I like those better. The ones they had back in the day during Dominique's, I don't know what the fuck was going on with that. All right. "Please beat the dead horse." Bill, you've received this email a million times. All right. "Can you please beat the dead horse and make it clear one more time that she should not be wasting any more time with him anymore? Sincerely, pronouns." What? I don't even get that. I know you're trashing me. "Can you please beat the dead horse and make it clear one more time that she should not be wasting any more time with him anymore?" I don't know what the fuck that is. You got me. You got me, sir, or ma'am, or whatever. You beat me. I don't even know what that means. "Weird signals from a sort of a creepy friend." Hey, Bill. "I'm a girl that has a lot of guy friends. I'd say about 70% of my friends are guys. Half are gay, half aren't. You know what I can't fucking stand? I hate women who have gay friends and they refer to them, "Oh, that's my gay. He's my gay." Those women are the fucking worst. And then their stupid gay friend comes around cock blocking you, you know, with his sassy fucking bullshit coming in and out. That's when you just like, why don't the two of you go fucking finger blast each other? No, it's really fucking annoying. It's really annoying. And then I always feel like the gay guy is gaying it up. He's just like acting extra gay. like sitcom gay, not like real life gay. And it's, the whole fucking thing is just annoying. So anyways, she goes, and lately I've been noticing a lot of my male friends have started staring at me. It's a little weird because I've known them for a while and no one ever looked at me twice. But over the last 2 months, I keep catching them looking, particularly my friend so-and-so. All right, well, what's going on with you? Did you hit the gym? Were you late developing? Are you dressing differently? So-and-so is my age and sort of has a girlfriend, but not really. Oh, Jesus. Are you that kind of girl Nia went off on back in the day? Girl who has all guy friends? Anyways, she just turned 15. Oh, wait a minute. Are you underage? I don't want to read this. She just turned 15, and he's determined to wait around for 2 years until she's legal in the eyes of the state we live in to officially date and get with her since all they've done is kiss. Creepy? I think yes. I would say definitely yes. If you're sitting there floating around just going, let me tell you something, man. The second the law allows me to take my dick out, I'm going to do it. That's fucking creepy. Anyways, now even though he's allegedly in love with this child, he gets super flirty with me when we hang out, even going so far as to cop feels, make jokes about us hooking up, and give me long hugs. Yeah, stay away from this guy. This guy's a creep. She goes, I'm friends with this dude, but this whole situation weirds me out, as it should. I'm not sure if he really wants to stay with his girlfriend or try his hand at dating someone age appropriate. But there's a fucking ton of mixed signals going on here, and any outside insight would be awesome. Thanks in advance. I think you got to go with your gut on this one. I think the reason why you're getting creeped out is because this guy's creepy. That's fucking creepy. That's fucking creepy. All right. A 22-year-old guy with a 15. That's Chris Hansen. Can you kiss a girl who's 15 at 22? What are you doing? You're in the prime of your life. There's plenty of fucking... You're 22 years old. That's it. You're a fucking rock star. There's a zillion women that you could get with. Yeah, this guy is a creep. He's beyond a fucking creep. I remember when I was 22, an 18-year-old girl felt like a child at that point. It was just weird. Like that's a huge jump. They're still living at home. You know, you're of legal drinking age. You're going to titty bars. You're getting arrested for fucking drinking and driving. You flunked out of college. I mean, you're eons away from where they were at 18. That's how I felt. I remember as a senior in college, like freshmen seem like children. That's fucking weird. Yeah, I would stay away from that guy. And as far as guys looking at you, it sounds like you're turning into a swan there, cutie pie. So why don't you go get a guy you deserve? Stay away from the future sex offender, you know, because you're just going to have to testify in his trial because you're friends that he's actually a good guy rather than a bad guy. That is beyond fucked up. A 22-year-old guy making out with a 15-year-old girl is beyond fucked up. That's beyond fucked up, all right? Yeah, that's like to the point I wish I didn't even read it. That like ruins... Takes all the fucking comedy out of this shit. All right, 53 minutes in. What do we got to do here? Hey, how about some advertising? That's a nice setup, huh? A little Chris Hansen story. And now let me tell you some stuff you got to buy. All right, what do we got here? Stamps.com, everybody. You know what? I've been talking about it forever. I've been using it now for since February? Shipping all of my DVDs in my BVDs in my own apartment. Dead serious, man. I got it. I got the scale. I still haven't bought my little, I'm a postman hat yet. You know, a little visor. Like, is he going to ship a package or win the U.S. Open? Nobody knows. Look, there's a few things that are a bigger waste of time than going to the post office when something like stamps.com exists. All right? You can basically bring the post office into your house. You can print legal stamps. All right? Right off their website, right out of your printer, right onto your envelope or onto a box. You got a little scale if you need, like, whatever you call that one. The postage, I guess. You can do the whole thing. You can do everything that you can do at the post office except waste time in your life. All right? Stamps.com will not only save you time, you can buy and print out, like I just said, the official U.S. postage on your computer or printer. You can print exact postage on any other package right from your desk. Stamps.com will also save you money. It's a fraction of the cost of a postage meter. Plus, you get discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, if you use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, you get a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free in postage. All right, don't wait. Go to stamps.com now. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's stamps.com and enter Burr, B-U-R-R. And also, I have other exciting news. If that wasn't exciting enough, that you can bring the post office into your apartment. Wouldn't it be great if you could bring the titty bar into your apartment? Are you sick of going there and paying those high ATM fees for a woman who's not going to bang you? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody came and shook their titties right in your own apartment? At titties.com. I was telling you guys how if you go to amazon.com through my website, on the podcast page, you just click on it. And if you're going to buy something, you just buy it that way. You don't have to do anything else once you get to Amazon.com. That they kick me back some money and 10% of the proceeds go to the Wounded Warriors. Well, I got my first check from Amazon.com. So I can't do it today because they don't pick up the mail. Tomorrow, I get to write a nice check courtesy of you guys for taking the time to go through BillBurr.com, go to the podcast page and click it on the Amazon banner. And I want to thank all you guys for doing that because, you know, this is really perfect for Memorial Day weekend to be bringing this up, that we get to actually, you know, help out the Wounded Warriors Project through buying Flobies on Amazon.com. So I actually use it. I'm rebuilding this carburetor, and I'll just go on my own damn podcast, click on that, you know. Rebuilding the Holley 4160, dude. And I know that sounds impressive. It definitely has that Mangrate vibe to it, doesn't it? But I got to tell you, it's not that difficult. Taking it apart and then putting it back together, it really isn't that difficult. What is difficult, though, is I haven't got to the part where you got to use a little measurer and make sure the float is at the right level and then adjusting the carburetors. But I got to be honest with you. I don't think that is going to be that hard either. Once you've taken something apart, you know what I mean? And then put it back together, it's not as scary anymore. Which is why surgeons are so goddamn arrogant, you know? When they cut you open and move around your friggin' ovaries or your goddamn liver and then sew you back up and you don't die. I mean, do you really think that they think they're buying the next round? I think, you know, as arrogant as professional athletes are, I think that, like, surgeons should be twice as fucking arrogant. Really? Did you split the D and dunk from the foul line? I cut open a guy's skull, fucking played patty cake with his brain, put it back together, and he can still talk. All right? Go fuck yourself, Kobe. And then he steps on you. All right, let's get back to the podcast here. Where the hell is it? What's the rest of the stuff here? Oh, my God. Here's one for you guys. My boyfriend wants to have his foreskin restored. By the way, how fresh and new are these emails here? Just because it's coming from the female perspective. I love this shit, all right? Not saying I want guys to email in, but I would like to have a nice balance here. I already say enough shit trashing women, so it helps if women come in trashing guys because, it'll be a nice balance here. All right, my boyfriend wants to have his foreskin restored. Dear Bill, I wanted to get your take on a situation I'm in with my current boyfriend. I'm a girl. All right. A few weeks ago, my boyfriend of 2 years told me that he's become totally upset that he's circumcised and wants to restore his foreskin via taping and stretching methods. What? And basically why he wants to do this is because they say that intercourse, you lose, like, I don't know, some percentage of sensitivity. when you have your foreskin removed. And all I can say is no guy can tell the difference whether he has a foreskin or whether he doesn't. Because unless you got laid when you were fucking 6 weeks old, you don't know what you're gaining or what you're missing. So I don't understand why you would do this. So by restore his foreskin via taping and stretching methods. She goes, I know. It makes me want to throw up just thinking about it. I wanted to tell him I think he's out of his mind, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. The thing is, I'm totally grossed out by the idea of foreskin. Penises are gross enough already. There's no need to make it even grosser. You know what? Am I the only guy that totally agrees with that? Is there anything more fucking disgusting than a fucking flaccid foreskin-covered dick? I don't even know what it looks like. It looks like a fucking, I don't know what it looks like. It's just fucking disgusting. I don't even have like a reference. Looks like an elephant dick. I don't even know what, it's just gross. It's fucking disgusting. She goes, obviously I can't tell him how I feel. He's clearly having a really hard time with this. He tells me that he feels violated and disfigured. This guy's a pussy. Just throw this guy into the fucking pussy bin and get on with your life. He also claims that foreskins has a lot of advantage for both partners, but it's hard for me to totally buy that considering the fact I have slept with a couple uncircumcised guy and I didn't notice any extra pleasure, although I did use a condom with both guys. Yeah, he's full of shit. He's full of shit. It may be more pleasure for him. I don't know what. I mean, I think it's amazing that women will put a dick in their mouths. You know, the least you can do is try and tidy up down there. You know, how about having a little fucking empathy? I mean, that's just disgusting. It's just fucking extra skin. Yeah, nothing more sexier than extra skin. Yeah, it's like your dick used to be obese and then lost a ton of weight but didn't have enough money to have that surgery to get rid of the extra. Ah, that's gross. There's another two paragraphs, people, just preparing you for another two paragraphs of having an uncircumcised, stretch-taped dick in your head. Anyway, I think it's absolutely disgusting and totally weird that he wants to do this, and I'm starting to get really turned off by the idea of sleeping with him while he's stretching out his foreskin. He told me he's going to tape it to an elastic strap, which he's going to tie around his leg. I know, what the fuck? Is he just coming up with this shit on his own? I told him that he should see a doctor before he starts to do this, but he doesn't think that doctors know much about this sort of thing. Oh, so he's just going to take it in his own hands. Congratulations, sweetheart. You're dating a fucking moron. Come on. This is the father of your children? Coming up with, you know, taking an erector set to his fucking dick. Do I have to finish reading this? I'm thinking of breaking it off with them. Really? Of course you are. I thought he was a normal guy, but I had no idea he had all this freaky shit going on underneath the surface. Anyways, what do you think about all of this? You got to go LL Cool J. You just got to do what he did. You're stretching out your fucking dick. I know I said I'd be true. You're stretching out your fucking dick. So I'm leaving you. Go fuck yourself. It's over. Yeah, fucking gross. Anyway, what do you think of all this? Am I justified dumping him, or would that make me an insensitive cunt? No, it would make you a strong person. All right? You go with your gut on this one. This guy is trying to do the impossible like he's that fucking scientist in that Michael J. Fox movie, Back to the Future. He's basically, you know, doing the DeLorean bullshit with his dick. And he doesn't want to go see a doctor. Any doctor would tell him, you can't do that. You know what would be funny, though, is if you dump this guy, right, and it actually works, and then he starts screaming like Billy Mays on TV with his dick stretcher. and he sells it for $19.95 and makes $1 zillion. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You know, there's a 99% chance you're doing the right thing, but there is a 1% chance you could be walking away from a potential millionaire. Because I got to be honest with you, if that guy actually pulls this off, no pun intended, if he pulls this off and he's able to do it with some household material, and then he, you know, they already make millions of dollars with those pills that say they're going to make your dick bigger, which we all know it doesn't work. Because if it fucking worked, that would be an international story. And then it still wouldn't work, because then what would happen was everybody would take big dick pills, even guys with big dicks, because they don't want everybody else catching up with them. So then having a little dick would then be like having a 6-inch dick as opposed to a 3-inch, 4-inch dick, right? Does the math work out on that? Or you get bumped up? You got a 6-7-inch dick, you're just regular. No, you're actually not regular. You'd have a little dick. So if this guy actually fucking is able to pull this, that doesn't even make sense. If he thought he was disfigured now, wait till he tries to fucking do this. I mean, his dick is going to look like, you know, when those people put that shit in their earlobes? They put those fucking, those circular things. You could shoot a goddamn fucking bow and arrow through somebody's earlobe and not draw any blood. He's going to do that to his dick. Except he's not going to have that thing in there. And it's just going to be all right, Bill. We got it. It's disgusting. All right. Overrated, underrated. Underrated. A steakhouse dinner with your boys. There's nothing better than stuffing your fat face with your friends, devouring filet mignon, prime rib, and porterhouse, and leaving nothing on your plate at the end. Recently, my two buddies and I went to Morton Steakhouse, and we each spent $115 despite having a $100 gift card. We each got our own steaks, sides, shrimp cocktails to start, and drinks to keep us twisted. We ate like royalty despite being low-level pieces of shit. We could not have been that gluttonous with the ladies. Why not? No offense to any wives or girlfriends, but nothing beats pigging out on quality food and not giving a shit about how you look in the process. You and your girl just can't do that sort of steakhouse thing. But you can do it with your boys. Abso-fucking-lutely. You know what, dude? You sound like a chick. You're not going to pig out in front of your girl? You know what? Come see me in San Jose when fucking Peretti opens up for me. She actually talks about eating. A lot of women don't want to fucking throw down. All right? But I know what you mean. I thought just to hang out with guys. It just makes you feel like you're running your own corporation when you have a steak dinner with just hanging out with the guys, right? You're smoking a cigar, you're drinking a scotch, and everybody feels like they're fucking, you know, HD buttercups, eh? Yeah. Overrated. Fake tits. They're too stiff. They look silly to me and uncomfortable for her. I don't know why women keep doing this. It isn't better. Thank you. That's one of the truest things ever. You know? They're horrific, and they don't feel good. And I think natural titties look better always, regardless of the size. It's just not that big a deal. It really isn't that you would do that, that you would take a bag of chemicals and have it inserted into your body. It's just fucking insane. I think it was a bad idea, and I think it's over. Fake titties, it's like bell bottoms. It's over, all right? Just let it go. It was a bad idea. Underrated. The natural boob, both jiggly and eco-friendly. Absolutely. All right, that's the podcast for this week. I think I hit everything I had to talk about except, I guess, Gamefly.com. I didn't bring that up. All you video gamers out there, you guys seen the new Grand Theft Auto that's coming out? Well, why don't you go to fucking Gamefly.com? Why am I cursing? Why don't you go to Gamefly.com? Huh? Why don't you? Where the hell is it? Where the hell is mangreatstamps.com? Advertising schedule. Here we go. Gamefly.com, everybody. Go to gamefly.com/burr, and you get a 15-day free trial to all my listeners. All right? You'll have access to 8,000 video games at your fingertips. They can be delivered to your door or straight to your PC. www.gamefly.com/burr. 15 days. After 15 days of playing 8,000 video games, if that's even possible, you can be like, yeah, you know what? I don't want it. Go to hell. Why wouldn't you do that? Huh? You know why? Because you self-sabotage and you have to stop. And it begins today with gamefly.com/burr. All right? That's the podcast for this week. Congratulations to everybody whose team who won in the playoffs, and my condolences, even to the Rangers, man. I just break you guys' balls, okay? That's it. That's the podcast. Let's go Celtics. Fuck the Miami Heat, and it's going to crush me to see the Spurs win the championship again this year, because I always felt Tim Duncan should have been a Celtic. He's the perfect Celtic. Fundamentally sound, not flashy, the anti-Showtime Laker. It's what made the Celtics-Lakers rivalry so great. They were both awesome teams who did it two different ways. And we were always the, we're going to bore you to death and still score 108 points. That's how we always were. And, I forget. There was some bullshit that happened that year in the lottery. We had like two lottery balls and we still didn't fucking get them. I don't know who the fuck. We wound up with like Joe Barry Carroll or some bullshit. So it kills me. And you know what? You think maybe San Antonio will finally get some fucking respect if they win it again? Would this be Tim Duncan's fourth or fifth title? I can't remember. He won in 99. Then they won in like 04. Then they won like every other year for a couple of years. I got to look that up. I got no idea, and I should know that shit. He's won at least three. Oh, Bill, shut the fuck up. All right, go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.